When Jesus faced the great stress of crucifixion, he prayed. Brother David Johnson will use some words that he prayed as his sermon topic on this Words of Life program. Those words are found in Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Take this cup from me. This Words of Life program is presented by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want to tell you about Jesus. We now honor our Lord with worshipful song. Please pray with me. Holy Father, as we humble ourselves before you in prayer, we do so with thanksgiving for your special love that is demonstrated in Jesus. Please use the words of this program to accomplish your will and for souls to be reached for you. Please also bless each faithful Christian here and throughout the world. Protect each from opposition from Satan. Heal their illnesses and give your peace. Please be with those who are struggling in the war in Ukraine. Even though the world ridicules you and your promises, it is important that we each be ready for the promised return of Jesus. Thank you for listening to us today. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson will now present Take This Cup From Me.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life broadcasts as we look into the Word of God together. The title for the lesson is, Take This Cup From Me, the words of the Lord Jesus, found in the New Testament, Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. Please listen to the Word of God. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation." This is the Word of God. Probably the issue most troubling for everyone, and especially Christians, regarding prayer, is God's answer of no. For many, many people, what is considered unanswered prayer builds a barrier that can eventually block any desire to really connect, to really keep company with God through prayer. A very common belief is what kind of person who has the power to save a life or heal a disease or make right a wrong just, so to speak, sits on the sidelines despite urgent pleas for help. So-called unanswered prayer can pose an especially serious threat to the faith of Christians. I read a survivor story of a couple from India, the nation of India, who happened to be in separate towers of the World Trade Center in New York City. Yes, on September 11th, in the year of our Lord, 2001. Amazingly, both of these individuals in separate towers made it down the stairways and out before the two towers collapsed, an escape which so impressed them that they converted to Christianity, and the husband even became a full-time evangelist. Amazing. Yet as I read this, I remembered a young lady that lived near me in America, where our family was living at the time, who actually died in one of those towers on that terrible day, etched in all of our minds. And what about the 2,763 individuals who also died, many of whom were probably praying, at least some were probably praying, even as the tons of molten steel imploded on them? What about their unanswered prayers, so to speak? Philip Yancey, a Christian author, writes in his book entitled Prayer, Does It Make Any Difference? He wrote this, quote, "Somehow, we must offer our prayers with a humility that conveys gratitude without triumphism and compassion, without manipulation, always respecting the mystery surrounding prayer. What would happen if God answered every or even most of our prayers? By answering every possible prayer, God would be, in effect, abdicating, turning the world over to us to run." End quote. Country singer Garth Brooks had a hit song years ago in which he recalls his impassioned prayers to God to melt the heart of a high school sweetheart. Yet later, it was apparent to him that she was a terrible choice. Some of the words of his hit song are, quote, "Just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." End quote. But what about unanswered prayer for a loved one to be healed and yet dies too very soon in a young life? Or still in the prime of life? Only God knows. This can remain, yes, a mystery to us. We could try to come up with valid reasons, but deep down they seem hollow. Our loss is so great. We should understand that prayer does not work according to a fixed formula, such as get right with God, say the right words, and the desired result will come. If that were true, Job could have avoided much suffering. Paul would have shed his thorn in the flesh. But neither had answered prayer according to their original desire. Ultimately, regarding unanswered prayer, as Christians, we must put our trust in God, who has yet to fulfill His promise that always good will overcome evil. Also to remember that God allowed His own Son to die a horrendous death on a cross, necessary, mandatory, to ransom mankind from sin, effectual to those who put their saving faith in Him and His work on the cross on their behalf. Perhaps it can be of some consolation regarding living with the mystery of unanswered prayer that it is due to the fact that we live in a fallen world. Our planet is marred with disease, including pandemics. It's marred with violence on a large scale, like is erupting in the Ukraine, the nation of Ukraine in Eastern Europe, and with the potential at any time for tragic accidents, not to mention the injustice that continues to reign on every level. How then can we make sense of any single experience of unanswered prayer? In the Bible are included numerous prayers that went unanswered. Many, even quite surprising, as no's from God, considering the petitioners and their circumstances. For example, Philip Yancey writes, quote, "After leading the Israelites through the wilderness for 40 years, Moses pled with God to allow him to accompany them across the Jordan River before he died. God refused Moses' request as evidently punishment for his past outbursts, which so rankled Moses that four times in his speeches to the Israelites, according to the book of Deuteronomy, he lashed out, blaming the Israelites for God's refusal. Consider King David, who spent a week prostrate and spurning all food, praying that his infant son not die. As a consequence of David's grievous sin, that prayer went unanswered. God said no. David and Bathsheba lost the child. Nevertheless, a later union led to the birth of Solomon, who would rule over Israel's golden age. Also, consider four characters in the Old Testament: Moses, Job, Jonah, and Elijah, all who actually prayed to die. Fortunately for them, God ignored their requests. Several times, the armies of Israel prayed for victory over their enemies, only to suffer humiliating defeats. Each event prompted soul-searching, which they needed to do. The Hebrew prophet Habakkuk prayed for deliverance from the Babylonians. Jeremiah prayed that Jerusalem not be destroyed. Both prophets' prayers went unanswered, and each struggled to explain the reason to a defeated nation. You have covered yourself with a cloud so that no prayer can get through, lamented Jeremiah in his book aptly entitled Lamentations. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul had his share of unanswered prayers. You need only read his luminous prayers for churches, and then read the sad record of those churches to realize how far short they fell of the ideal for which Paul had prayed. Surprisingly, even Jesus Christ, to a degree, was not exempt from unanswered prayer. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed with great fervency. As recorded in Luke 22:42, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup," that is, of suffering, "from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." In his humanity, Jesus poured out his sincere heart to his Father, especially knowing in advance that on the cross he would become sin, a sin offering, mandatory to ransom mankind. Plus, for a most awful time, that the perfect fellowship of the Son of God with his Father would be broken, as Jesus later cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" According to Matthew 27:46. So Jesus prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me." But the Father was not willing. And Jesus the Son knew that, but he still prayed it, and yet quickly added, "Yet not my will, but yours be done." That must be our mindset regarding all prayers, as hard as it may be to say, as hard as it might be to accept. It always needs to be, "Father, yet not my will, but yours be done." The more we know God through his word, the more we will know God's will, and the more likely our prayers will align with God's will, which should also help us to accept his will, even in more difficult circumstances. Perhaps we thank God regularly, saying yes to our prayers. But when have we genuinely thanked God for saying no? Maybe, just maybe in heaven, the mystery of no will be wonderfully revealed and appreciated. Perhaps we should start regularly thanking God for His no's now, because we should understand that when God says no, He is answering our prayer. It's not the answer we may want, but it is an answer to prayer. God says in answer to prayer, yes, or no, or wait. But dear listener, our Father and God always knows best every single time.
The sermon that you have heard shows how much you are loved by the Father in heaven and by Jesus himself. Please remember each day that you are loved by our Lord and also by other believers. We pray that we can help you in your relationship with Jesus. If you would like to have a free CD of this and last week's program, please ask for CD number 2224. That's 2224. Please write to us today while the program is fresh in your thinking. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life. Sing now.